Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Susie and Nate and I were at a conference the last few days, and it was a great conference on discipleship and mentoring and all that, and we'll share more about that later. But one of the speakers shared about Peter. You know, y'all love Peter. Peter, who made a lot of mistakes. He's the one that denied Christ three times. And then they have that scene where Jesus, you know, comes to him and really ministers to him and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And we go through that. Well, there's in time of restoration for Peter, and then how God used Peter. And there's three main sermons from Peter in the book of Acts. And so I want to read part of one of those. And so that's encouraging for us today that miss it, make mistakes, get off track. We can be used by God. But Acts 3, verse 19 in the Amplified says this: "So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. The times of refreshing." Everybody say refreshing. "Times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord." You know, we live in the South, and we had some workers at our house, people helping at our house to clean up from the storm damage. And I was so glad that day it was cooler. But have you ever had one of those days, you know, those hot Georgia, South Carolina days, and you're out there working, and you just get tired, you get weary, and you just take a moment, get under the shade and the cool breeze, and get you something cold to drink, and just refreshment. And I believe the Lord will have some refreshing for people today. Some refreshing from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Whenever two or three gather in my name," are we gathering in the name of Jesus today? It says, "There I am." And if you read in the Amplified, it says, "I am" in capital, "the great I am." "There I am in the midst of you." So he's in our midst today, and he wants to bring refreshing. But before we do that, let's expose some things of why we might need some refreshing. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. This is a good message for a church like this, because we're not a church of takers. We're not a church of just receivers. We're givers. Our mission here is empowering people to give life. And our vision is we see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word and the Holy Spirit to be able ministers, reaching their world and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're a church that, so now when we hear the Word and we're growing in our faith, but we believe that everybody has a ministry. Everybody has a ministry of reconciliation. Everybody is an ambassador for Christ. And he wants to use everybody to share his love and his compassion. So we're a church that puts out. All of us, we put out. And so this is the good message for us today. Galatians 6, verse 9 says this: "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." You ever been weary? You ever gotten weary? And it says for doing good, not for doing bad. You're doing good things. You're sowing seeds. You're loving people. You're praying. You're going to church. You're helping others. But how many know in the midst of all that you can get weary? This word weary means to give in to evil. To let something bad defeat you. To surrender to a bad circumstance. So basically what it is, and again, you're not being disobedient. You're not doing your own thing. You're doing your best to follow God. But how many know there's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy? And sometimes you get knocked down while you're doing good. Knocked down while you're in faith. Why is that? those trials, not from God, but from the enemy to stop you. And I've done this where I was maybe started a new faith project or sowed a big seed, and the enemy comes immediately to steal the word, and I was like worse off than I was before I started my faith project. What's he trying to do? He's trying to knock you out, knock you down, cause you to get weary. And the scripture talks about losing heart or fainting or losing your courage. So we can get weary from the trial. We can get weary from life. We can get weary from circumstances. Now let's go over to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Verse 10 says this. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love which you have shown towards his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So he's talking to people here that are given life, right? Walking in their ministry of reconciliation. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now we talk about faith, but it says faith and patience. Patience is something that you've got to learn. If you're going to be a life giver and be a minister, you have got to have patience. Because sometimes the ones that you're ministering to don't cooperate. Sometimes, I mean, a lot of times that happens. Or the folks that you're trying to help, they seem to be going the other direction. And you just were tempted just to give up and throw in the towel, but the Holy Spirit won't let you. So it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. But it's talking here to people that are doing good, people that are serving God, people wanting to fulfill God's plan. And it says, warning us about being sluggish. What does that word mean? Well, the King James says slothful. And you should look that word up, but sloth means to be slow moving. It means you've become dull. Things have become monotonous, unexciting. And so you become slow or sluggish. And so at one time, maybe you had momentum and now you've lost your speed. And this is not an outward thing. This is not something that people around you may be seeing. You may be saying the right things. You may look the same, you know. But it's something on the inside. You've kind of lost your spark. You've lost your passion. And you've gone into neutral. And again, maybe nobody around you knows, but you know it. You've gone into neutral. You haven't gone into reverse. You're not going backwards, but you're not really going forward. I've been there. I've been in this. And again, we're talking about an inward situation, not outward. Although it can affect your body and it can affect other things. And that is easy to happen. I've been, you know, just because of life, just because of the cares of the world, just because of situations and struggles I've dealt with, I've been at times preaching for months and been sluggish. Preaching to myself. There's this story about the mom that's talking to the son, and the son's sleeping in on Sunday morning, and the mom's yelling to the son and said, "Hey, time for church. We got to get up. We got to get over there to the service. Mom, I don't want to go today. I just want to sleep in." You ever felt that way? Did you feel that way today? Some people are nodding. A lot of people are nodding. We say around here, when you least feel like going to church, that's when you need to go. But he said, "Mom, I don't want to go to church. I want to sleep in. It's so boring over there, and nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me, and just going through the motions and not getting anything out of it. And I just don't want to go. What's the purpose of church?" And so they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the kid's just whining and complaining. You ever had that with your kids? But finally the mom says to him and says, "Hey, you're the minister. Oh, I better get up." We get dull, all of us, the best of us get dull. We get sluggish. We lose our momentum. The candle gets is not as bright. And I just hope that for any of us, we don't have the testimony that the glory days were in the past. Oh man, you should have seen me years ago, how on fire I was for Jesus. No, our testimony needs to be fresh. And walking with Jesus is exciting. And He truly does have that abundant life. But we can get sluggish. We can get comfortable. We can go through the motions. Kind of lose your passion. Well, that's not who we are. That's not who we are at Good News Church. We're passionate about the things of God. We're passionate about the plan of God. One of our values here is passion for souls. We're passionate about His Word and passionate about the things of the Spirit and passionate about praise and passionate about every day reaching people with the gospel and making a difference. And we're not takers, we're givers. We're not looking just to get for ourselves, and we see a world of selfishness and me, 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 but that's not about us. We're about others. Church to us, it's not about us and what we can get. It's about being a blessing to others. But even the best of us can get sluggish. And you may be sitting here today and you may be putting on that smile and you look real good. But you know you're in neutral. You know you're just kind of going through the motions. You know that the fire is not there. Now, your favorite scripture that you love to hear in church, over in Revelation. Let's turn over there. And I know you love to hear this scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. I haven't used this scripture in a long time. Verse 14. "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Don't we love that verse? Isn't that great? Times of refreshing. Well, it's an interesting verse in what he's talking about there. And for this church and this city was a very prosperous city. A hub, a center, rich, big. And they were in an area where there was a lot of earthquakes. And so there was these vents in this area where the steam would come up and springs would come up. And so there's this one city, I'm going to call it Hierapolis because it sounds like that. So that's my son over there. So when Harry has his own city, it's going to be called Hierapolis. But over in Hierapolis, it was a few miles from, the city. And they would go over there and it was like a sauna. They would get in these hot bath areas from its water, and it would bring like healing. And I mean, have you ever been, Nate? I know you've been there. But I don't know if you went to the spa or not. But have you ever been really sore from working out? And go to a spa or something like that, or get in a hot tub? How's that feel? Feels really good, doesn't it? Oh, man. But they, so people would come from all over to this spot, Hierapolis, and go to the hot tub and get healing and for their body to feel better. Well, there was another place, Colossae, that was nearby there, and this place had cold water. They had cold springs, and people would go there to get in that cold water to be refreshed. And so up in Minnesota, I know about this, because in Minnesota, we'd get in the hot tub and then go jump in the cold water. That's a Minnesotan thing. Don't be making fun of my state. Come on. You had to be there. And I remember I was in the nation of Panama. I was early on, Campus Crusade for Christ was there for a summer, and it was more humid than here. Jungle. You just step outside and you're just sweating. You got to drink a lot of water. Well, the dorm that we were staying in, they didn't have hot water. It's cold showers. You know, that will really wake you up in the morning to take cold showers. And you know, the first week, you turn the water on and you're like, oh, you're just praying, God help me to get through this shower. And you just like put a little toe in there and then, you know, getting little parts of your, it was freezing water. But after a week, because of the heat and everything like that, I kind of liked it. I mean, I was maybe wiped out or drained, but I get in that shower and I'm coming out singing, woo! I sang high just like that, although I can't sing high. And so it was refreshing. This, you know, the city here that the angel's writing to, they were rich, they were prosperous. They said, you know, let's talk to Hierapolis and let's have them pipe over some hot water. So they made a plan, and it was pretty amazing for that time. They made a canal, pretty amazing thing. And they actually pipe the hot water over to the city. But the problem is, by the time it got there, it was lukewarm. It was lukewarm, and it tasted bad, and it had a foul odor. And so it was just nasty. It wasn't of any benefit. No refreshing, no healing. And so when he's talking here about hot or cold, he's not saying cold in a negative sense, meaning you're not on fire anymore for God. He's saying you're hot, meaning you're bringing healing, and you're cold, meaning you're bringing refreshing. But if you're lukewarm, you're not doing either one of them. And I think in reality we have a whole lot of people in the church today that are really lukewarm, that are good members of church, because they really don't do anything with what they've received. See, the word is to, and you go back to Acts chapter 1, it talks about the Holy Spirit came upon us. The word and the Spirit is supposed to fill us up, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with overflowing. There's supposed to be an overflow in our lives, not for ourselves, but for others. And what did he pray in Matthew chapter 9? He prayed about the laborers. We don't have enough laborers. And so we have a lot of people. They're not hot. They're not cold. They're lukewarm. Doing good things. But they're just not bringing the gospel. They're not bringing. And so today, you know, maybe you're in that situation. Maybe you used to minister to people. Maybe you used to give life. Maybe you used to pray for people. Maybe you were the guy they'd call from prayer, but for whatever reason, You've stopped that. Again, cares of the world. Just life happens. Or just the, Mark 4 talks about deceitfulness of riches or lust for other things or just distractions come. How many know distractions can come? How many know we live in probably the most distracted generation ever? And we all have all these reasons why we can't touch others. And you stop giving life. And I think the example here, and again, God doesn't want to vomit anybody out of his mouth. But I think he's just something dramatic to get our attention here. And so today, and again, I'm talking about refreshing. But things happen. Trials, tests, situations. We become sluggish. The light, whatever reason, I mean, I don't know, there are a lot of reasons why it happens. The light in us kind of diminishes. We stop ministering. So I got a word for you here. Let's keep on reading. And are you depressed? What can you do? What can you do if you're in this situation? Well, Revelation gives it to us, and I'll start reading in verse 18 in the Message translation. And here's what I want you to do. Buy your gold from me. Gold that's been through the refiner's fire. Then you'll be rich. Buy your clothes from me. Clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half naked long enough. And buy medicine for your eyes from me so that you can see, you can really see. The people I love. See, he loves his church. He loves his church. The people I love, I call to account. I prod and correct and guide. That's one thing I do as a pastor, by the Holy Spirit, challenge people. Higher place, higher level. Can't stay comfortable. Prod and correct and guide so they'll live at their best. Up on your feet. Up on your feet then. About face. Run after God. Look at me. I stand at the door and I knock. He's knocking today. We use this, you know, a lot of times, and growing up, we use this for outreach and getting people saved, but in this context, it's really for the lukewarm. Look, I stand at the door, I knock, he's knocking, knock, 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 knock. If you hear me call and open the door, see, he's not going to bust the door down. If he knocks, and he's knocking today, you have got to open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to the supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. It's time to listen to God. It's time to open our hearts to Him. He's knocking. And the best of us get weary. The best of us get sluggish. The best of us get lukewarm. The most spiritual among us. And we get tired and we get weary and we draw back. And we hold just the precious gifts. I've done it. I've been there, like I said, months at a time sometimes. But I love this in Matthew. This is good. Woo! Matthew 11. Man, you're going to love this. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that He is alive and well and working today. He's not dead. He's alive. He's been resurrected. And that resurrection power is available for us today. Woo! Look at this over in Matthew 11, verse 25, Amplified. At that time, Jesus began to say, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and I acknowledge openly and joyfully to your honor that you have hidden these things from the wise and the clever and the learned and revealed them to babies, to the childish, untaught and unskilled. Yes, Father, I praise you that such was your gracious will and good pleasure. All things have been entrusted and delivered to me by the Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to make him known. Here we go. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. The yoke he's talking about here is a two-animal yoke. And so the animal is plowing the field or whatever it's doing, and it's by itself, and it's just struggling. It's just weighed down. It's just not getting the job done. It's doing everything it can, but in its own strength, can't get the job done. But when you got two, you can yoke two, you can put another one. And so what he's saying here is, I want to be yoked with you. I want to be yoked with you. Jesus is saying this. I want to be yoked with you. I don't want you to go through this alone. I don't want you to do this in your own strength. I don't want you to do this in your own ability. I don't want you to carry the weight of all these people and situations, carry it on your shoulders. But the thing about it, he says, take the yoke. And so we're going to have to take it. And many of us, we do things in our own strength. And if we're going to be long-term ministry, and God's got some amazing things for us this year, I mean, I don't want you burned out. We're going to have to learn to take the yoke with Jesus. We're going to have to learn to look to Him. And you know, an amazing thing is, He said, even the hardest task will become pleasurable. Even the hardest task will be a delight. Even the hardest things that we do, the hardest work and the heaviest burden, it will be delightful. And in the midst of the storm, we can have rest and peace. He's that good. That's why He's our Savior. That's why He's our Deliverer. That's why He's our Healer. He's the one that brings provision. He's our Strengthener. But we got to take it. We got to take the yoke. And so today, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to receive from Him. There's nothing magical about coming forward. Nothing magical. There's no magic river running through, as I've seen in different places, and you know, whatever. But sometimes you just need to come and receive. And so if you're here today and you fit some of these categories, or maybe you just want to come and get more of Jesus anyways, I want you to get up out of your chair and come. And the reason why I'm asking you to come is to receive refreshing. Now, there's two reasons, if you're feeling led to come, that you don't come. The first one is pride. Well, what are they going to think about me? Well, the Bible says he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And the other reason is fear. And fear, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. If you want something from God, you come and get it. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just load them up in here. Load them up. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, guys. Come on. Let's get, ushers, help me. Get them all in here. Whoever wants to come, let's get them in here. Oh, hallelujah. And just go ahead right now and take the yoke. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Susie, come up here. Nate, come on up here. And each one of you, you got to take the yoke. Take the yoke. Take the yoke. Take Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Him. Give it to Him. Give Him your cares. Give Him your burdens. Give it to Him. And we're going to begin to minister right here. And now you look too comfortable. Why don't you stand and why don't you pray for these folks? God's moving here, folks. Come on. Let's get involved. Pray. Help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Times of refreshing. Refreshment. Refreshment. Times of refreshing. Oh, hallelujah, in the presence of the Lord. Recovery from the effects of heat. Refreshment in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.